God is looking forward to us becoming one with Him. Anybody agree with that? His Spirit in our lives is so key to us winning in our relationships, in our lives, in our body. Any aspect of life depends on us becoming one with Him. God has such a plan if we'll get focused. Amen. Your best day is before you. And when you live in this kind of a climate with Him, where He's leading you and guiding you, you will win. And every step will be a step of success. In Christianity, in pastoring, I have come to realize that challenges are everywhere. There's the work of darkness on every side, and it's impacting our lives, our relationships. And I've come to realize, too, that the good news that was delivered 2,000 years ago has been compromised in some areas because Christians are not living up to all the benefits of that good news. And some of the areas that we're finding out that we hack our way through our Christian life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're in the rough all the time. I'm already talking about golf right now. You're in the sand trap. You're in the water, and you got to drop and count a stroke. And the point is, get back into the fairway in our walk with God. And so, Christianity, they believe God can. Anybody believe God can? Amen. And so we console ourselves in the fact that we can actually confess that God can, whatever that means. But in Christianity, because the enemy is so manipulating and so good at what he does and deceiving, not a lot of Christians can say that God will. This is important. If you don't know He will, you're in trouble. God is not moved by the fact that we say that He can, that He's all-powerful. What stirs Him up and moves Him is when we're convinced He will. And this really resonates in my spirit today and challenge you and encourage you to know that even God's name reveals that He will. In the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tiskanu, the redemptive name of God is all provision, all health, all relational, His presence, His joy, everything belongs to us. In the Old Covenant, if He would do it there, won't He do it in a better covenant? And so we have a dilemma among Christianity today. They say God can, but there's been so much manipulation from the enemy side, and the enemy goes to church, by the way, that very few actually say that they believe God will heal their marriage, that God will set them free and give them, amen, provision, and that God's presence is with them always. His redemptive name reveals this, that the first thing about God's redemptive name, when He shed His blood, you know, the blood of a lamb, amen, had to be shed every year in the Old Testament, and God gave them all the provisions. But in the new, the Lamb of God, the real Lamb of God, shed His blood for you and I, and within His name, this is the greatest covenant that's ever been. He hadn't required anybody to be good. He just asked us to come to the one who is good. And if we'll just have fellowship with Him, we can enjoy everything He has for us. And we can't help but stay on the good path with the one who is good. So the presence of God is the number one thing that He wants you and I. I'll never leave you and I'll forsake you. I'll be with you always to the end of the world, the end of the earth. It's His presence. He gave us a promise that He would fill us with His Spirit and He would never leave us nor forsake us. The worst thing could happen to anybody is be void of the presence of God. And even the people in this world, all over this earth, the presence of God is with everybody, sinner and saint. Amen. Unbeliever and believer. The presence of God is there. But to take advantage of that, You got to know more than he can. You need to come to realize and get the resolve in your spirit that I know God wills to give me what he has purposed for me to have. Not because I deserve it, but because he loves me. Amen. Not because I worked hard for it. No, he's not going to give it based on that. He's giving it based on the fact he worked for you to have it. He gave it all so you could be blessed. And so God's presence, God's provision, his victory, his innocence, his identity, his healing, his forgiveness, it's all within the parameters of his redemptive name. When you call on that name, Jesus, it belongs to you. It's time to stop hacking your way through life, amen, as a professed believer, and be a believer, amen, and let the resolve be in your spirit that I am healed, I am set free, I am delivered, not because God can, because he wills it. The cross of Jesus Christ is the gospel, amen, to the whole man, all of us. Jesus went to the cross, spirit, soul, and body, so that he could redeem you and I, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Some of you need to hear that today. Some of you feel so bad about how you've been associated with bad. You've been associated with challenges in this world. Amen. Your relationship has been hit, and there's been enough scar and pain involved in it. You don't realize, amen, that God wants to bless you anyway, not because you've been associated with bad or evil or doing wrong. But he loves you. We need to hear that every day that, amen, you don't have to live up to a certain idea for God to bless you. All you need to do is come to him, thee that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I mean, he wants to take the burden away from you and make your life light and easy. It's God's plan. Amen. God not only can, but more importantly, he will. Amen. And so what is God's plan for my life today? We did a survey, about a month ago, and you came up with some things you thought were logical topics for your life that you would like to hear about. And this was the number one. What is God's plan for my life on the survey? And so I won't get finished today. I'll finish it in part two, what's God's plan for my life, because we want it to hit in such a way that you can relax and know this is not a hard journey. Amen. Jesus said, either burden, come to me. My yoke is light and easy, but it's a journey that when you start it and you start it right and you get set up right, that the Spirit empowers you to win. God's Spirit in your life, as you're filled with his Spirit, you are given power to be an overcomer. You don't have to live, amen, in the rough, hacking away, trying to get out of the sand trap. Amen? You can win victoriously because you have chosen God's plan for your life. And in James 4:13, it says it this way, James, right? He said, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into this or that city, spend a year there carrying on business and making money. Now, keep in mind, there's a bunch of people that are trying to live out their life based on their personal will, what they want to do. Has anybody ever tried that before? I want to do this. And James is encouraging them, hey, don't go down that trail because it's going to leave a bruise. It's going to bring a challenge. But the temptation's real, isn't it? He said, why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? You have no clue what's going to happen. You're asking the wrong question. Amen? Whether or not I need to go to Shipley's or Krispy Kreme's and get donuts. Well, it depends on what time we're going to get them. But James goes on and writes, he says, what is your life? You are a mist. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. The temporal questions are good questions. We're going to ask them anyway, but the eternal questions are the best ones to ask. You see, my grandmother, and Tammy will tell you, you know, she was always, if the Lord wills, we're going to do this. And she reminded me as a puppy growing up, son, you know, you've got plans to do this or that, but always be reminded, now, if the Lord wills, you can do that. Thank goodness for a praying grandmother. It resonated in my spirit, impacted my life to know that the will of God, there's nothing greater than the will of God. You know, I mean, I've got some things in life I wanted to be associated with, to be a, and be involved in, but you don't want to be involved in them without God, right? God really cares about the details of our life. He's into you and I. In John, 1 John 2:17, amen, notice this. John writes that the world and its desires pass away. All these things we want to do, personally, that's going to pass away. But the man or woman who does the will of God lives forever. What about y'all, but life is kind of a good idea. I don't want to be taken down, amen, and experience the death and the darkness because I was so into me. But I found a way to, amen, be attracted to God through the good news, and I found out that's where life is. So everyone is challenged with multiple decisions every day. You're making decisions every day, lots of them. And when you start this life, just some common decisions that we're all challenged with in life is, you know, do I go to college? You know, do I join the armed forces? Do I get married? Do I marry this person or I married that person? When I get married, do we have children? How many children are we going to have? And choices are just paramount. Do I buy a house? Or do I build a house? Do I get a cat or a dog? Well, that's easy. Quick, get a dog. All dogs go to heaven. Questions. They're ever before us. Decisions. How do I know the will of God? How do I hear the voice of God on the decisions that I'm in the process of making? And God has set you up and put you together in such a way and designed you to make choices. And he's so into you and so about you that if you could choose him before you make another choice, that's a wise decision to make. And so choices are important. We're talking about what is God's plan for my life. Amen. If I could tell you to stay on point with something, is pay attention to what the voice of the Spirit is saying. He's talking all the time. He's just not yelling at nobody. Amen. There's only one voice that's screaming at us, and that's the enemy. But the Lord speaks with a still, small voice. And you've got to make it your resolve that I am going to choose God to be my source. Otherwise, these other voices, and some of you are thinking, Pastor, are you trying to say that I need to go to an insane asylum because I'm hearing voices? If you don't start paying attention to the voice of God, you will wind up there. Because all these other voices are going to keep messing your life up to where you're frustrated, you're full of anxiety and depression, your marriage is broken, amen, your bank account is gone, you're in bankruptcy. I mean, the list goes on until you go crazy. Following the wrong voices. The only reason those things can be in our life is something impacted us in the way, so we made a choice that brought us to bankruptcy. We made a decision because of the influence of a voice in our life that caused us to believe this is the way to go, and our marriage became broken. And so we wind up in the rough, and as we've seen Will Smith say, hey, go ahead and hack at it. Go ahead and make the wrong decision. Go ahead and not get focused, and you're not going to achieve your goal. But when we get focused and we zone in, amen, yes, Lord, amen, I'm going with you on this journey, we begin to see the miracle happen. And Jesus was very clear when he made the statement, my sheep hear. In other words, God's people always say no to the other voices. People that believe in Jesus always resist the ideas of the other voices, and they hear his voice. And by hearing him and acknowledging that you hear him, amen, he's able to know you and become intimate with you, empower you now to follow him. Anybody want to follow Jesus today? Amen. It's one thing to know I want to follow him. Amen. It's another thing to be empowered to follow him. There's a lot of good intentions in our world, aren't they? A lot of good intentions to go to church. But until you get empowered with the Spirit, all you're doing is going to church, playing church. It's time to be the church. It's time to get in the right flow. It's time to get focused. Amen. So you can really have fun and enjoy life. So how do we get tuned in? How do we zone in? How do we get this focus in our life? There's a lot of these bad voices that appear to be God, right? Sound like God. Amen. They even got scriptures backing up why they're telling me what they're telling me. Amen. There's a Bible study for everything in the world. But then there's a truth that will make you free. You see, anybody ever fleeced God before? That means you put out a condition on whether or not you do what God wants you to do. If it's snowing, yes. If it's not snowing, no. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to play with her today. And I did in the first service, but it's like my wife, Tammy, she loves to shop. Anybody know she loves to shop? And now she's got all kind of other avenues to shop, and she's helping people shop for houses, and she's having a blast, and she loves color and design. It's fun to watch her. She's like a little girl in the playground. But she can drive up to Dillard's. And she says, now, Lord, I just feel that. Lord, if there's a parking space at the front door, I know it's your will that I shop today. And after the fifth loop around the mall, there it is. She's not that bad. We'll go do that at Krispy Kreme and see if we can find a front door parking. Amen. Conditions. Then there's the flipping point, Christians. I'm going to the book called the Bible. I'm opening it up, and I'm going to hear the voice of God today. And so you open it up, and there it is, 1 Chronicles 19:4. Hanan sees David's men shave their heads, cut off their garments in the middle of the buttocks. Okay. Flip to Mark, and there it is in Luke. Amen, where Luke says, Jesus said, go out thou and do likewise. You want to be careful where you're flipping and pointing. Voices come, amen, in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. These voices are manipulating people. Jesus made it clear, beware of false prophets that come to you this way. Amen. You know them by their fruit. I'm going to just tell you, the fruit is not peace and joy. The fruit is not health and amen and success in life and a happy marriage. That's not the fruit. It's bad fruit. Amen. But when you, amen, hear the voice of God and you resolve in your spirit to stay focused on the objective, your marriage gets healed. Amen. Your body gets healed. Amen. Your life gets changed. Amen. It's just wonderful to know that God has given us an opportunity not to go beyond the fact that he can do, but he is willing to do it today, right now, for any and all that will come to him. He will take the burden and release you into the joys of the Lord. Our God is good, isn't he? Amen. So God's will, is it narrow? Is it broad? You know, if I married the wrong person, is this going to cause a chain reaction and bad things are going to happen all over the place because I married the wrong person? And you'll be surprised how many people think from that lens. Or, you know, hey, you know, Pastor, that it's appointed unto man once to die. Now, what if it's not my time to go, but it's the pilot's time to go? That's a good question. But that's only a question. God is in charge. Amen. And when we stay in the playing field, in the field of vision, and we're in the lane that we're designed to be in, amen, those questions don't exist, because all that matters is we have answers. In his spirit, we have answers. Outside of his presence, we're asking all these questions and we're confused and doubt and fear and unbelief eases in, and we don't know what to believe, but we go to church. Is anybody tracking? And God's asking us to step up so that we can be who he designed us to be, which is his church. So let's consider how God's will is framed. And today, take a few moments and challenge you to know that God's will is framed, and it's theological as an aspect, and it's also practical at the same time. It's light and easy. It's not something heavy to have to carry. God's will is framed much like things that we deal with in life. And you may enjoy playing baseball. You may enjoy doing some kind of hobby, whether it's hunting, fishing. There's parameters by which you do all those things, amen, that you can be successful in if you follow the right parameter and you obey the rules and stay within the borders of that objective. And I'm using golf today because I enjoy playing golf. I get like 14,000 steps when I walk around, and amen, feel better about eating that cheeseburger right afterwards, you know. But in the game of golf, there's aspects. You have the tee box, you have the green, you have the fairway, you have a set of clubs. It's 14 clubs in there, and it's important that you make the right decision in choosing the right club to achieve the objective. And you have to consider the wind. You have to consider the elevation, whether it's cold or hot. You know, just many things come into play in order to make the right decision to execute the next shot. Amen? Thank goodness there's 18 holes, because if you mess up on hole number one, you get grace, and you tee off on number two, refocus again. Let's get this right. And God's good, isn't he? Amen? He's a God of second chances, isn't he? Gives you hope. And so if you're in where you're at, you're thinking, man, it's all through. It's not all through. But the beautiful thing about this game of golf is that, amen, in order for you to, and I like the way Jesus phrased it and framed it in his disciples. He said, look, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. My plan for your life, you're not doing it by yourself. Amen, I'm going to be with you. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you the comforter. He's going to remind you of everything I ever said. And then Jesus goes and says, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. And he has a word of direction. Living with him is full of answers. You don't know how you know it, but you know what you can't explain when you're in his presence. And some of you are saying, man, I want that kind of walk with God. And you can have that today because he's willing to give it to you. It's not that he can, but he's willing. You can leave here today full of hope, full of, amen, knowing what you need to know about who you are in God's great big plan. So God framed this. He didn't mean for us to do this on our own. And when the game of golf is played correctly, you have a caddy. That caddy's important. That caddy's like the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to your caddy. Amen. Tension leaves. Anxiety. Amen. Confusion. Clarity comes. Confirmation happens. Anybody need confirmation on something? Something about how God knows how to give us a confirmation when we need it. You're not by yourself. His presence is with you. And so the object is, you know, stay in the fairway. If you get out of the fairway, and ladies and gentlemen, know this. In the kingdom of God, you're set up is the most important thing. If you don't set up right and you don't get the gospel correctly, amen, you're gonna get off course. It's wonderful that we understand that, amen, the gospel includes death, burial, and resurrection, repentance, baptism in his name, and the infilling of his spirit. That's what it means. It's the good news that we have been, amen, brought out of darkness into marvelous light, because now we've identified ourselves with his death, his burial, his resurrection. And he's forgiven us because we've repented. Amen. Not only did he forgive us, but he gave us identity in the water of baptism. We took on his name. But it didn't stop there. Not only did he give us, amen, identity in the water baptism, amen, but he also fills us with his spirit and empowers us to walk in this path of his plan. It's awesome when you get set up right. And if you start right, you can finish it. And so many haven't even really started, and they're trying to run a race that they're not empowered to run because they haven't experienced the baptism of God's Spirit in power. That's not okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if I need power to be an overcomer, then how am I thinking that's not necessary? It's very necessary that we be empowered. And look, so that we're catching this today. 95% of the golfers that play golf today play the game in the rough because they think that they've gotten right instruction. And the instruction they got that appears from their lens to look right, it's not right at all. It keeps them in the rough. And their handicap is out of bounds all the time. And I'm giving you these types and shadows so that you understand Christians are living their life the same way. They wonder why the anxiety, the frustration, why their tension and why the relationships are broken and they're not getting what they need. It's because they're living their life for Jesus in the rough, out of bounds, in the sand trap, in the water hazard, amen, in the trees. And that's not okay for you to be in God's plan. You ask the question, what is God's plan for my life? God's plan for your life is not to be in the rough. It's to be in the fairway. It's to have clarity, to have the eyes of your understanding enlightened so that you can see, amen, what you can't explain, but you have a knowing that propels you forward in peace and in joy and in confidence. Amen. You're God's mouthpiece. You may not know what you're saying, but you're saying what God's saying, and it works. Amen? The arrogance that I think that I need to understand God before I obey God is whacked out. Those clubs in the golf game were designed to achieve an objective. If you don't set up correctly in the golf game, amen, and your stance and your setup is in error, what that club was designed to do, it won't be able to do. And you'll hack it. You'll scull it. You'll top it. Amen. And you'll wind up in the rough, frustrated, wondering what's wrong. The setup is important. The fairway, if you maintain the fairway, amen, it's easy. Get out of the fairway, it's tough. And by the way, when you get in the rough, sometimes you can't make forward progress. And that's the way it is in our walk with God. When we get in the rough, we can't get forward. The reason we can't be forward, because we're out of his will. Somebody will say, man, the fairway, golf. Man, I'm not catching this. Just hold steady because we're going to define the fairway in your life in the next few moments. But it's important that you know you must be in God's will. It's imperative that you know you must be in his spirit. If you're not in the spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you will hurt those you love around you. You will offend God's objective in your life. You can't live up to your identity out of the flow of his spirit. And so sometimes, and some of us today are going to realize, oh my God, I just need to get back to the fairway. And sometimes getting back to the fairway, you have to go backwards. You have to hit it back to get back in the fairway so you can have vision, so you can see the objective, so you can reset up. Because if you stay in the rough, it builds tension. If you stay in the rough, it builds anxiety. If you stay where you are without God's assistance, pay attention to the caddy. Amen? And you win. And some of you are thinking, my God, I need to figure out what my fairway is. God's will is very similar to this thing I'm talking about, this game of golf. Amen. God's will is framed in a way that in the fairway you have rough on both sides. And the first rough, amen, and if you want to know the will of God and look at this fairway from the lens that you want to be in the fairway, the right side border before you hit the rough is the sovereign will of God. All right, let's look at it from that lens. If you get in the rough, you have just stepped outside the sovereign will of God. Somebody said, what is the sovereign will of God? That's what God is doing on earth. God is doing some things on earth that we need to pay attention to, and he ain't changing. And what he does on earth, he does with you in mind, because you're the apple of his eye. Every intent of God revolves around you, and the enemy don't want you to know that. So his sovereign will, amen, is the right side of the fairway. And when you cross over and your will and his will is not coinciding, you're in the rough. Thus, frustration. Thus, anxiety. Thus, broken relationships. Amen? But to get back in his will, you have to get back on board with his sovereign will. Amen? The other side of the fairway is the moral will of God. Number two, the moral will of God. And these are three points that I need to make today for everybody so that you can track with us next week as we put this to the test. The first one is the sovereign will of God. Amen? I'm committed to the setup. We want the will of God in our lives, don't we? But God's will for our life is never outside of his will and what he's doing. It always coincides. Thus, the reason we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's God's sovereign will. Anybody want the will of God in your life? You have to ask him to let his sovereign will work in you and from you. Amen? So the second side of the fairway, the moral will of God, meaning what God has already said in his word about his character and his kingdom culture. He never changes. And when you break the moral will of God in your life, you get in the rough. Has anybody ever done what you shouldn't do immorally before? Don't raise your hand. But anxiety follows it. Regret, guilt, all kinds of bad voices begin to speak about how you're a failure. God will never love you again. And when you're in the rough and you start feeling like God don't care, God didn't do that to you. He didn't, and he really cares about us. But the enemy is building tension, building anxiety, building frustration in you. You keep going to church because you're hoping, amen, you can get out of the rough and back in the fairway. And God wants you to know it's really not that hard. It's real easy to get back in the fairway. Very simple. But when we break the parameter of the fairway in the game of golf on the left side, we get in the rough, amen, of resisting God and his moral will. An example of God's moral will that'll help you in 1 Thessalonians, God says he wills that we live holy and abstain from sexual immorality. Greek meaning for sexual immorality is just simply sex outside of marriage between one man and one woman. Anytime we get out of the fairway of the moral will of God, questions start coming. You ever tried to figure out why you're okay where you are in a moral way? Like, I'm okay. I'll be okay here. And the enemy will give you all kinds of reason to debate why you're okay. But you stay frustrated. You stay full of guilt. You feel bad. Oh, it's those believers that make me feel bad. No, believers ain't saying nothing. They ain't beating you up because you broke the moral will of God. They're there to encourage you because they walk in the Spirit. And those that say they're Christians that are beating you up over failure, they're not Christian. That's voices from hell that's being used by the enemy to hold you in captivity. And look, ladies and gentlemen, it's important for you to know because the enemy wants you to stay in the rough. He wants you beat up. But the most powerful person for the enemy is someone that confesses Christ but don't believe in Christ. Well, what do you mean don't believe in Christ? They confess Christ, don't believe. That's right. They don't say what he's saying. Amen? They go to church, but they won't ever do the will of God. And the enemy can use someone that says, I'm a believer, but yet won't believe, to do more of his work than a sorcerer or a witch or any evil, amen, thing that goes on our earth. He loves people to profess Christ but won't believe him. Those people do more work for his kingdom than any other person in the earth. I'm saying this to you this. It's not attractive for me to be frustrated to anybody. Is this okay? Is everybody tracking with me? It's not attractive for anyone to see me, amen, in tension and in a broken relationship. It's not attractive for me to be full of anxiety to anybody. I tell you what people are attracted to. If you're full of peace and you know that God's in control, amen, he's in charge in your life, that's attractive. Amen. What's attractive is that when I'm with someone, and it's the same thing for me, when I'm with you and you're building me up and I'm building you up, we edify one another, that's attractive. You can only do that in the fairway. You can't do that in the rough. When you get in the rough, it's unattractive. You can't live your life under the power of doubt, fear, and unbelief. We've got to get back to the fairway. Amen? And so getting back into the fairway is simply saying, okay, God, I'm in this trouble. I've done this. The enemy's convinced me this is who I am, but that's not really who you are. Amen. It's time to tune in for station identification and get clarity on what God's saying about you that makes you valuable, valid, and precious in his sight. Amen. The enemy's not going to tell you those things. So we want to get in the zone, don't we? Everybody wants to be in the zone, right? Point number three, the personal will of God is how you get in the zone. You're designed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're designed to carry the word of God wherever you go to be the mouthpiece of God. Anybody agree with this yet? That God has to have a representative. He chose you to be his representative of all of creation. Amen. Some of you have heard me say this before, but I have to say it over and over for us to really get it. Of all of his creation, he chose you to be his temple, the temple of his spirit. And where his temple is, that's where his spirit abides. He will not abide in a temple that won't let him abide there. He'll only abide in the temple that invites him to come in and take over and be Lord. Amen? And so getting in the zone, getting in the place where you have the field, the vision of the field that you're involved in, the kingdom of God, means that what God desires for your life includes him as the source. Anything that you put your hand to do, he wants to be the source by which you do it. Any word that you open your mouth to say, he wants to be the source by which you speak. Is anybody tracking? It's not like God wants you to control me. No, he don't. He's just asking for you to make a choice and choose him to be that source. Because if you don't choose him to be the source, you're going to choose the other one to be the source. And the enemy that comes this way, he makes you feel like you're the one being that. But he's the puppet behind pride. He's the puppet behind self-will. He's the puppet behind arrogance. This idea that me and Jesus has got our own thing going, that's you're in the rough. Me and Jesus don't have our own thing going. That's not the truth. The only way I can be in the fairway is with the body of Christ. The only way I can be where I have the field of vision, amen, where I'm clicking with the Lord is I'm connected to you. Because when I'm connected to you and we're connected together, we're connected to blood flow. And all of God's provision belongs to us. We're totally relaxed. We're at peace. We're full of joy. We're enjoying the current of God's Spirit. Our relationships is enjoying the peace that comes with that. So the personal will of God becomes an impact on our life. My wife and I, amen, for us to get in the zone, we had to get in a place where, you know, we were doing the will of God. And so it was plain to my wife and I that we were to be in Texas, the place where, and I'll tell you about that in a second, that we decided that we didn't want to come here. But God wanted us here so that he could build a house. He could bring people together that could be impacted by the good news that my grandmother invested into me and became alive in my wife and I. And so we decided together we're going to do this. But I have to be honest with you. Me and her confessed together we would never go to Texas first. And the Lord's humorous. I mean, we said it together. Nope. Don't want to move to Texas. We'll never come here. And it was right after she and I agreed that we would never come here that the Holy Spirit said, now, I've got something to say about that. You want to walk with me? That's where I'm sending you. Just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you want to be in the fairway. Daddy, you're going to have to tell her the same thing. He said, I wired her just like I wired you. She's as powerful as you are. I can talk to her too. And I'm saying that for everyone here. Your admonition, you're powerful. He or she that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. He's speaking loud and clear right now. The plan of God is attached directly to your ability and your willingness, amen, to hear his voice and agree with him. Some of you are standing, sitting today right there, and there's things God is speaking in your spirit while I'm talking to you that you're being, I know that's God. But if you'll be brave enough to confess it, wow, what's about to happen? You may say it in English. You may say it in a heavenly language. Nonetheless, if you get brave enough to let what's in you right now, the voice of God that's speaking to your spirit, because he's come to this place to let you know to whomsoever will. And you're hearing the voice of God today. You're not hearing Dwayne Lowe. God is reaching for you to know he has a plan for your life. And the number one purpose of God in your life, amen, is for you to come into fellowship with him and you become his representative. And his representative declares what he declares, says what he says, and walks with him doing what he does. Not because they're powerful on their own, but they're powerful because of his presence. God's challenging us right now to know that, hey man, we've got enough history in all of our lives to know where God wasn't at work and where the voices were working. And so I challenge you with these two questions in the next few moments for you to ask yourself every day, amen, to help you stay on point with what God is saying. And this is the first question. If you want to be in the will of God and living out the plan of God in your life, is if God has a moral will, and he does, and you're experiencing rough times, and we all have, haven't we? Then what am I listening to that has me following what I should not be following? That's a great question to ask every day. What am I listening to that has me following what I should be following, should not be following? And like I said, 95% of the golfers are listening to instructions that are coming from bad instructors, and they're playing their game in the rough all the time. We've got to have the right instructor in our life that helps us get the right setup. What am I listening to that has me following what I should not be following, and I'm in the rough? And the second question you would ask yourself is, what am I listening to that has me not following what I should be following? What am I listening to that has me not following what I should be following? Doesn't it make sense, ladies and gentlemen, that if God is doing something on the earth, that I should be cooperating with him, following his lead? My will and God's will should coincide. Does that make sense? That apart from that, I'm in trouble. No matter how good I think I look or how good I think I can do anything, I need God. I challenge you right now, because next week we're going to put God's will for your life to a test and ask six questions that you need to ask yourself regularly that moves you back out of the rough back into the fairway of life, God's plan for you.